You ready? Okay, so we're just finishing up Siman Kuf Pei Gimel, and we mentioned that, of course, the main part of Siman Kuf Pei Gimel is Kalaro Tibas Dam Pechardol Yosheves Aleha Shivanakiya. Right, so we pointed out that there was Takanas Revi Besados, which was to always assume like the worst day, and we had two Hezbeir, like, why don't you know what day it is? Either number one, because it was the Sados, it was Amaratz, and people uneducated, and the women just couldn't keep track of the days, or number two, because everyone can't keep track of the days nowadays, or rather, it's very hard to keep track of the days nowadays, because since we don't know colors, what we thought was Dam Nida might really not have been Dam Nida. So what we thought was Yemei Nida might not have been Yemei Nida. And therefore, you never know what day you're in. Because 8 days ago was Nida doesn't mean now it's Ziva. So maybe that wasn't Nida. And therefore, Lamaisa, we always do the worst case scenario, which as we pointed out was, if here is 1 day, and here is 2 days. And here is 3 days, I'm not going to put the whole chart up, but here is Takanas Rebbe. The worst of 1 day would be that day plus six, right? Would be that day plus six. The worst of 2 days would be those 2 days plus six. And the reason might be that it might be deemed up. The reason for this is that it might be either first Ziva and the second Nida. Like maybe, obviously, the first would have to be day 18. First was Ziva, and then it was already day 19, then was Nida. Or first was Tahor, and the second is Nida. And 3 days, you'd need Shiva Nikiyim, because the worst case scenario would be Ziva. That is Takanas Rebbe, that's where we left off. Then we have this thing called Chumra de Rebbe Zeira. Rebbe Zeira says, B'nos Yisrael Hechmiro Lazman. This is Chumra de Rebbe Zeira. It doesn't mean Rebbe Zeira made the Chumra. It just means Rebbe Zeira recorded the Chumra. But the B'nos Yisrael made a Chumra on their own, that even if they see Tipas Dam Kechardo, Yosheves Aleh, Zayin Nikiyim, why Kechardol? It doesn't mean the color of Chardol, even though there is one such day floating around there. The color of Chardol is okay. It means even the small size of Chardol, or smaller. And the finish is, even though it's for sure only came out once. You can't think it came out, like, in 3 days. It's so small. You know, nonetheless, we have Shiva Nikiyim. So basically, Shiva Nikiyim. And Shiva Nikiyim. This is, of course, impossible. Meaning, there is no scenario where you could need Shiva Nikiyim for seeing 1 or 2 days, because hey, you can't have need Shiva Nikiyim unless you're Zava Gadola, unless you 3 days in a row. So here's a big Shaila. Why did the Benos Shaila Chmir Al Atzva? Maybe you could say, who knows? You know, they're not all Talmid Chachamim. But Chazal approved of this minhag, right? I mean, I'm sure there are many things that women or men or whatever, women and men, did 2,000 years ago or 1,500 years ago that Chazal didn't approve of. And they didn't bring down this halach in the Gemara. So for Rizera says, B'noshu l'chmir l'atzvam, that means that Chazal approved of this minhag. And Chazal would only approve of this minhag if there was some logical reason for it. So what's the logical reason for Chumra d'Rabbi Zeira?
Should I see if there's another
razor downstairs? No, that's okay. We'll get one eventually. What could be the logical reason for Chumra d'Rabbi Zeira? Like, how could 1 day mean Shiva Nikiyim? It's impossible. There is no scenario. So if there's no scenario, right, then the answer must be, it's a gzeira. What's the gzeira? Right? The svara is not that you might need Shiva Nikiyim. It's just a gzeira atu. You don't need Shiva Nikiyim for sure. No matter how much you mess up, you don't need Shiva Nikiyim. It's Gzeira Atu something else. What is it Gzeira Atu? Here we have three different deities in the Rishonim, although I think one of them really makes it into the Mefarshim here. on one of the, well, let's just see. One shot is 0 up to what? So one shot is Rashi. Rashi says more than one shot. Rashi and the Sefer Truma and others. The Gzera is, maybe it's not Gzera, that maybe she saw yesterday and the day before and didn't notice. Okay. It's a bit of a far up Zera. I think we're going to have a lot of trouble because if a word you might have seen didn't notice, then everyone every day should be in Nida because maybe she saw and didn't notice. It's a little funny. What some of the Achronim say is that maybe what it means is that she found the Dom now. If you don't find any Dom, then you don't. But if you find Dom, then how do you know it came out today? Maybe it came out yesterday and the day before and you just didn't notice. Right? So like she finds, okay, why even a Chardol? That you'll just say Gzeira Chardol up to a bigger spot. But if she finds, you know, this much Dom, maybe a third of it came out 2 days ago and a third of it came out yesterday and a third of it came out today. So maybe she really is a Zom Gdola. The Raven says, the Raven, by the way, you might not have noticed yet, has a famous sefer called Bali HaNefesh. The Raven wrote a sefer Bali HaNefesh just on Hilchos Nida. That is one of the main Mekoros in Beis Yosef, as we'll see. One of the main Rishonim he quotes here is the Raven's Bali HaNefesh. And the Bal Hamor wrote Hasagos on the Bali HaNefesh. And the Bal Hamor's Hasagos, as well as the Raven's Bali HaNefesh, are like basic Rishonim here, that you don't have in any other area of Halacha. Most areas of Halacha, Beis Yosef never quoted. The book Bal Hamor, on the bottom of the Rif, never quoted in Beis Yosef. Never quoted by the Poskim. The Raven is rarely quoted by the Poskim, because they usually don't have Sfarim that he wrote. But in Hilchos Nida, Raven and the Bal Hamor are like your biggest Rishonim. So the Raven writes that Gzeira Yom Echad Atu Gimel Yamin. If someone's making on one day, they might be making on 3 days. Some people might be so confused that they won't remember the difference between 1 day and 3 days. Okay, that is also a possibility, but the mainstream possibility that most Rishonim say and that the Nosei Kalim like the best is what Rashi and the Ramban and the Ran say, which is Gzeira Atu Soteret Sfirata. What do I mean by this? Let's say a woman's in the middle of Shivan Nikiyam. She's counting Shivan Nikiyam. She saw 3 days, she's counting Shivan Nikiyam, and it's now day five, and she finds a drop of blood. How long is she tummy for this drop of blood? In the middle of Shivan Nikiyam, she bleeds. How long is she tummy?
7 days.
And not just 7 days, but until she gets Shivan Nikiyam. Right? So there is a case where you have to do Shivan Nikiyam for one Riyah. If it broke the Shivan Nikiyam you're in the middle of, because Shivan Nikiyam has to be in a row. If you break, you have to start again. So therefore, this is like the most straightforward Gzeira. If she bleeds once in Shivan Nikiyam, she needs another Shivan Nikiyam. So there's a Gzeira. If she bleeds not in Shivan Nikiyam, she also needs Shivan Nikiyam. Because there is a case where bleeding once requires Shivan Nikiyam, where you're already in Shivan Nikiyam. And therefore, there goes around all bleeding once up to bleeding on Shivan Nikiyam. Okay, the Lamaisa, though, whatever this far is, we hold of Chumash Dvarim Seira, it's considered halacha psuka, and therefore, as we know, halacha nowadays is any time a woman bleeds, she needs Shivan Nikiyam. We don't have the din of Nida nowadays, we don't have the din of Zava Katana nowadays, we only have the din of Zava Gadola nowadays. Okay, that is very simple, so simple that Chazal used an example of a simple halacha. Now, the tricky part is, and this is what I have on the Makor sheet here, what is the halachic power of this Chumash Dvarim Seira? Right? After all, he just says, Benos Yisrael Hechmiro Latzman. So is this just a chumrah? Or is this a din? Right? So here we have, what is the, you know, how powerful is Chumrah Derabbi Zeira? And here we have a famous machlokas. If you look on the sheet I gave you, there's a, you know, under part bet, there's a famous sheet of the Shut Galya Masechet. From almost 200 years ago, Rav David of the Vardik. And the Shut Galya Masechet is an interesting vart. He says,
Umeata asura no la ayin bit nyachumadur zeresh mavur. This is like part bet. He says, this is not a takana of the chacham, it was only a minig of the women. El shav no shalach mir me'atzmo zeh. Lo nasum tikanus vad chazal. He says, this is not a din d'rabbanan. A vad is not a reisa. It's not even a din d'rabbanan, it's just a minhag. Uvi yosu v'rusham so yidchubar d'hai minhag alon is pashm chol mekomos. El da achbar achbar hegu lochmi lochmi. And it even sees in the old days, in the time of Chazal, it didn't even reach all places. In some places they had this minig, in some places they didn't. He says, this is merely a minhag. How strict is a minhag? Well, okay, we're all Orthodox Jews. We not only keep the rice and terabonas, we also keep minhagim. But still, we keep minhagim when we can, when it's not a shasad chak, when it's not a mokum tsar, etc. Everyone knows if we're stuck, then we compromise our minhagim, right? Back in America, in the old country, right, all of our fathers used to shave during the 3 weeks to go to work, because that was a minhagim. So for your parnasa, you know, they weren't noheg to ruin your parnasa. And many other cases in the post-war make of mokum minhag. It's easy to get rid of Chomer Dor Zeira. And therefore he says, who's not talking about Chomer Dor Zeira, that whenever there's any tzad you can be makel on Chomer Dor Zeira, he says it's only a minhag, and therefore there's room to be makel. He doesn't say exactly when, but this is the shita of the Shud Gal Maseches. It's just a minhag. And based on that, the have you heard of the Kuntrasei Shirim? Say for Kuntrasei Shirim, Rav Gustman. So he was a big Talmud Chacham in Europe, and then after the war, big Rosh Hashiva in Brooklyn, and then in his old age, big Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. The Yeshiva still in Katamon, I think, although they refurbished it. So he wrote these Svarim Kuntrasei Shiurim, a really tremendous lumdus on Shas. In Kiddushin, the Kuntrasei Shiurim, he gets onto a tangent and he says, what about the following problem? What if a woman has a very short menstrual cycle? Chazal tell us the average menstrual cycle is 30 days. Right? We'll see that. And modern science tells us approximately the same thing. You know, I don't know exactly, but more or less the same thing. I don't know if there's a universal opinion, but it's, that's not rocket science. You just ask the woman. It's around 30 days. Okay, gavaldik. What if a woman's cycle, though, is 24 days? Could happen. Then what's the problem? She, without getting into it, she bleeds for 5 days. Then she counts Shiva Nikiyam. After 12 days, she goes to the mikvah. After 12 days, she goes to the mikvah. The problem is most women, they ovulate the time they can get pregnant, is about 2 weeks before the next period. So she can get pregnant around day 10. She goes to the mikvah day 12. She's never going to have a baby because she goes to the mikvah too late to get pregnant. A woman can't get... Chazal have a different opinions in the poskim as to when a woman gets pregnant, but at least in modern science, a woman can only get pregnant when she ovulates. Ovulates, ova means egg in Latin. It means that her ovaries release an egg every month. And that egg goes into the makor, the rechem, the uterus. And if sperm comes in and fertilizes it, she will get pregnant. And if there's no sperm, then she won't get pregnant. But she can't get pregnant any time. She can only get pregnant at the time for ovulation. And the ovulation is usually about 2 weeks before your next period. Which means that if your period is 24, your ovulation is 10 days after the period, 14 days before the next period, at an average. And you go to the mikvah, 12 days. So you go to the mikvah 2 days later than you ovulate, never get pregnant. And that's a problem. And then, just never have kids your whole life. So that's obviously a big problem in terms of Peru, in terms of family, in terms of the marriage, etc. So in modern science, they realize this at a certain point. So what happens? What do these people do? So, says Rav Gustman, okay, there's a lot of politics nowadays, whether he said it, L'halacha ulamais or l'halacha v'lolamais or b'derech lima, but at least I'm not going to get into that. But he said it. He said, what this woman should do? She should not keep Chomer Dor Zeira. And she's not keep Chomer, she shouldn't keep Takanas Rebbe either, because Takanas Rebbe is only for the Sados, and we don't live in the Sados. We live in Jewish communities with yeshivas where we have education. She should go back to the Doraisa. The Doraisa means she counts 7 days in Tovels. Right? Now, she has to watch out. She has to keep track of her days when she's on the gedola, etc. But assuming that she got her period, she bled. 24 days later, she got her period again. That's not Yemei Ziva. And we don't worry about the Rambam at all. Right? So she's in need of the Raisa. She goes to go back to the Raisa and ignores her to Rebbe Zeira and ignores the Kanas Rebbe because that wasn't made for everyone. And then she'll be able to get pregnant. And after she has kids, then she doesn't need she doesn't need birth control pills. Then she just goes back to keeping the Chor Rebbe Zeira, after she has enough kids. That is the so likewise the Kuntrasei Shiurim. And the nafkamina of saying it's a minhag, and what's the svara? You're allowed to violate a halacha just because you want to? No, not a halacha, but a minhag. It's not even called violating a minhag. All the posts can write by every minhag that when they were nohag, they only had the minhag when it's possible, but in a case of tsar or hefzeh, they never meant to make the minhag in the first place. Therefore, chumrat Rebbe Zeira doesn't apply, and that is the nafkamina. Is b'makom pru urvu, you can be mekel and forget the chumrat Rebbe Zeira.
Does anybody hold that
lamaisa? Anybody? Well, it gets complicated. Let me get back to it. It gets complicated, and I'll show you how complicated it is. But let's look at to where the post came here. I have Rosh Shlomo Zalman or Rav Moshe. You know what? Let's skip to the bottom to the Rav Moshe. You see how this is complicated. So, of course, what's the problem? The problem is you don't want people to take it too lightly and ignore it lagamre. What Rav Moshe held about this is very mysterious. And I'm sure that it's mysterious, because it's written in the Yiras Moshe that it's mysterious. Okay, beyond that, I can't tell you. Look at what Rav Moshe says at the end here. He named the Dvar Ha'isha Shalfi Divar Rofa Mumchen Himuchsheres the Kabbalah Yom. She's able to get pregnant. This woman has such a short cycle, she can only get pregnant if she sleeps with her husband on days 8 and 9 of her period. You know, which is clearly not enough time to have Shiva Nikiyam. You know, she gets her period on day 8 and 9, Midoraisa, she'd be fine. Maybe after 7 days, goes to the mikvah, 8 and 9 is Gvaldik. But now, she's going to bleed for 4 or 5 days, then have Shiva Nikiyam, and she'll miss it. Right, because quote Rosh Rabbis of Varz Lifa Zera Baal Bitni Yeshvatir Nachri Ibor Avers Yitzayin Kim Konim Vesta Tasting Sub Exobi Akhar Zayin Yom Yas Kos Vesta Tips of Mount Tit Poke the Need of Raisa Yachar Yasus Lifa Zera Levitna Umacha Shisha Osum Rotsa quote Rosh Rabbis Lady the Daitian Yah and he says to do artificial insemination. Right? After all, she can only get pregnant, she hasn't got to the mikvah. So do artificial insemination, and not only that, make sure that from her last period, she's not a Zava, just a Nida, and then let her go to the mikvah after the Doraisa, but not to sleep with her husband in violation of Kormidur Zeira, just so she can have the Kedusha of Tara, and then do artificial insemination. The Hine says for Moshe, if Nidon der Tashmish, he ignores the question. He says, forget the question of artificial insemination. How about the question of being Tashmish? Just be Mochel Kormidur Zeira, go to mikvah, Doraisa, after 7 days, and then be Mishamish Kedar Kol Haaretz, and then it solves your problem. Lahatir shall puravu lasos kadina don raisa lo kumers or zayir shir sheva zayin kiyim ashi shmakum lo demazeh. There's what's to talk about. We come up lemaisa in lahatir lemaisa. I can't be matir. The aim it's only davrazel yeksav rakim yasmin shem shor shish raisa pam davrazel biro dover lemaisa. Rav Moshe is very mysterious. He says yesh lo don, but I can't be mekel and I can't talk about more bichsav. If we meet bal peh, we'll discuss it. But lahalach below lemaisa. So there are different understandings among Talmidim and Rav Moshe what he really meant. Some say, it's clear what he's hinting at here. He's hinting at that Baal Peh, if I really understand the situation, and I know it's not going to be taken advantage of, and people aren't going to take it further, I would be making on a case-by-case basis Baal Peh. But I have to be very careful not to write a heter here, because then people will take it too far, and everyone will say, well, it's a shasachak for me, because it's so hard to be usher for so long, and who knows, we're usher for so long, maybe we'll have a fight and get divorced, and it's a big shasachak, and a shalom bai, and you can always make an excuse that it's a shasachak. So therefore, some people, Masara, I have some to meet Rav Moshe, that he would really be makel on a case-by-case basis, he just didn't want to write it. Other people say, no, he didn't mean to be makel at all, he just said there's a lot to discuss theoretically. But in any case, he's clearly mesopic about this.
Edus from the Talmid of Rav Moshe, is that that they were reading into Juba, or that they know that he did it on a case-by-case basis?
I think the latter, but again, this is all cliche, so at the very least, we'll put a question mark about the Igros Moshe here. He clearly says, I don't want to come out writing it like Rav Gustavin did, but he hints that, and in general, whenever Moshe writes in the Igros Moshe, that, you know, I have more to say about this that I want to discuss now, and I don't want to be mater. It often means that, you know, he is mater sometimes on a case-by-case basis. So, yesh ladun, what Rav Moshe meant, it's at the very least, he's clearly misopic about this. However, Shlomo Zalman comes out very, very strong about this. If you look in between, in the Mincha Shlomo, it was originally published as a journal article many decades ago. He says, "Achman esem oshem nashim shigasim mishechzas on kama yom ve'in yichol eskali tara lahasu v'tara tnei chamisho shisha yomim." What about the woman who's period last 5 or 6 days? And then they have to have 7 shivanikiyah. And then they ovulate so early that they can't get pregnant. Then on the female, the kind of shenisha nasa zaba elotok, etc., etc., etc. Let's just skip a little. Let's just read quickly. Hasmuchim zayin ve'nidish rasa damis chilasam nimsim v'din deraisim l'rasa yosim yavav ha'yav vav yomim chol shab lahasu v'tara v'yom vav. Says, look, you can make a daraisa cheshbon. If she had 11 clean days after her last period, that means she didn't become a zava. Right? On days, the 11 days, she didn't become a zava. And now she got her period, and it only lasted 5 or 6 days. She's for sure not a zava. Right? She's for sure not a zava. Again, no one's taking into account the Rambam here, that, you know, you count days from when you were 12. She's for sure. She got her period, bled for 5 days, and 20 days later got another period. So she's for sure not a Zava, because during the days 8 to 18, the 11 days, she didn't bleed, and now she bled again. She's only Nida. So she could go to the mikvah, the rice, after 7 days and be with her husband and have a family. And even according to the Rambam, this is Machlokes Achronim, but many Achronim say she's a Ves Kavua, even the Rambam admits. And doesn't argue on the other Rishonim. And she's okay. Aval came in the Masha Amr Abzir of Nosul, Khmir Latsin Shafila Rose Tivas Dam Kardil Yoshul Lazai Nikim, Amr Living Gar Brachlam and Al Shiacha Psuka. But since Rabbi Zeira's statement was called in the Garn Bracha Sahalacha Psuka, that implies that it's not just a minhag. You couldn't call a minhag halacha psuka. It's something that started as a minhag, but then became halacha psuka. That shows it's a halacha. Pashtu, the Efshar Klal Lahakel, meaning what he understands that it started as a minhag, but then turns into a takana d'rabbanan. The Rabbanan saw this minhag and made a takana that it's a din d'rabbanan. It's just like eating chicken with milk. What anyone say you could eat, you could cook chicken soup with milk in order to help you do puru vu because it's only d'rabbanan? No. No one would say you could just do every isser d'rabbanan just for puru vu. Right? Therefore, he says, you can't be makel even the tzar gadol v'yafgam b'chi yigam nikanam it's a rab puruvu v'sheves hagam shisha chayev, so even there's puruvu and even sheves the woman's chayev and he'll among the yishchash shol tzosik shim bali even if they might get divorced after klal l'hakel l'avar l'lach p'suka zu. You can't be makel, that's it. And Mugavadeh says, he said, the kamesh v'zeir chamurim ovelim mubeis feke drabon l'hakel, it said, okay, he's very, very machmer on chumur drabi zeira. So the second shita is the mincha shlomo. The Mincha Shlomo says that it is a din gomer midrabanan, not just a minhag. And many poskim, I would say probably most poskim, hold like the Rav Shlomo Zalman now. Many poskim assume like Rav Shlomo Zalman that since the Gemara called it a halacha psuka, that means the Chacham took the minhag and legislated that it became a din, and it's a real din d'rabbanan. It's not a din d'oraisa, but it's a din d'rabbanan. And you can't violate a din d'rabbanan even to do a big mitzvah. You still can't violate a din d'rabbanan. And therefore, the nafkamina is even makim puruvu that ein lahakel, you know, the you can't be makel at all. Or Zalman goes very far. He says, even a suffic chumrah d'Rav Zeira is l'chumrah, because they made it a super d'rabbanan. Most of us assume, no, it's a regular d'rabbanan. But still, a regular din d'rabbanan. You can't be makel at all. Halach l'maisa, this is a big machlokes. Ad hayom hazeh, there are different opinions about this. L'maisa, there are... Okay, I haven't asked every posuk in the world, and again, sometimes these are things that are said privately, so they wouldn't be taken advantage of. But there might be some poskim out there who would paskin based on the Galia Maseches, which in the Kuntres Shiurim, that if someone's really stuck, they could. Violate the Chumrah d'Rabbi Zeira for the sake of Puruvu, because it's only a minhag. However, the mainstream halacha nowadays is The main shiur halacha nowadays is not that way. The main shiur halacha nowadays is like Rav Shlomo Zalman. So what do you do in this situation? Two things. A, nowadays with modern medicine, you can often use hormones to push off the woman's cycle and make her ovulate later than she naturally would. So if the woman, she says, I can only get pregnant before I go to mikvah, and then I miss the chance to get pregnant every month. So okay, with a lot of drugs and hormones, you can make her get ovulate a week later than she would have naturally after she goes to the mikvah, and then she'll be able to, hopefully, b'zeiyat d'shmaya, get pregnant and have kids. It's not an easy thing. It's not, don't imagine it's like, you know, taking antibiotics or something, meaning, you know, these are drugs that are hard to administer and they have side effects. But, nonetheless, and I mean, these are kind of drugs that a lot of non-Jews also use for solving fertility problems that have nothing to do with halacha. But lemaisa, the minhag nowadays is that if a woman is in this situation, she tries to use medical means to change her period and change her schedule and therefore be able to solve the problem without halachic compromise. If that doesn't work, then I think most poskim nowadays would say we still should not violate Homer Gerri Zera, and better to do artificial insemination than violate Homer Gerri Zera, which is what the questioner asked for Moshe about. But there are probably different opinions. So halach lemaisa, for short, let's just summarize halach lemaisa. Lemaisa, first step is to try, hormones and see if that will work, which it usually does. And then second step, there is, I think, many poskim say, do artificial insemination. Of course, the downside of artificial insemination, besides the fact that it's not so pleasant, you know, for the people involved, and it's not natural, and it's, you know, is that you get into shailas of hotzas zera, etc. So that's, you know, creates, that it's not a halakhically glut option. Because you have some achlokos, and according to Moshe, you have big problems with zazera. Or some people would say that just forego the chomer d'Rabbi Zera. Okay, yesh la'ayin. But I think all poskim would say that your first option is try to use medical means to avoid the shaila, even though it's a tircha, and it's a, you know, and even though it's a big tircha. If you can't use medical means, then there are different rabbis say different things, and no one's on the record for any of these things usually. So then, you know, you have to deal with it on a case-by-case basis. But 90% of the time, I just made up that number, you can solve it with hormones, which is a tircha, but you can do it. There are, that's the halacha lemaisa. That we certainly do not easily vater on chomer d'Rabbi Zera. I would just add two things. Number one is, there are those in the more liberal fringe of Orthodox Judaism who would say something, who would say, for example, no, why make people go through the tircha of all kinds of medical interventions? You know, especially nowadays since anti-hormones and stuff is very, very big. You know, just mevater and chomer d'Rabbi Zera right away. After all, that's what Rav Gustman said. That's not mainstream at all. You certainly cannot forgo chomer d'Rabbi Zera if you have any other option that's halachically, for sure permissible, that's halachically unquestionable. So I don't think it's really, I know there's some fringe liberals, people who would say this, but mainstream, I don't think anyone would say you should just forget about chomer d'Rabbi Zera and tovel the d'oraisa. So you have to at least try, even with a big tircha, to fix it with hormones and drugs, etc. There are, you should know, this is not within the realm of halachic discourse, but just within the realm of sociology, that there is one doctor in Yerushalayim who published a whole book saying that we should all forget our chomer d'Rabbi Zera and go back to d'oraisa nowadays, because why should we be so frum? And there are some people, there are no, you know, rabbis or talmid chacham who would say this, but there are people on the liberal fringe or who just don't know any better and were confused to follow that. So there are people who are, you know, on the liberal fringe who would just stop keeping Chumash Rabbi Zeira, went back to Daraisa and erased, 2,000 years of halacha, because, a certain doctor with a yeshiva education when he was younger, wrote a book saying that we should all do this. Okay, if you go to Wednesday's Machon Pua, maybe you'll hear a little Machon Pua, has a, sort of decade-long campaign at this point, fighting against that and fighting against legitimizing that view. Lamaisa said that's not a legitimate view at all. That's really, all right, enough said. But you should know that there is such a view out there, and it's beyond the bounds of Yerushalayim. It's not a minority view. It's beyond the bounds of Yerushalayim. Okay. That's talking about from people. One interesting discussion which comes up, though, is what about people who... That's talking about what you hold as mutter or usser. The other question, this ties into one of the things we discussed last time with the Rivash, what about education? What if you have, you're a Rav, there's a couple who's getting married, etc., and, they're not so from, and they're not willing to separate for Shiva Nikiyam, which is basically 12 days a month, generally, could be a little longer, etc., but they'd be willing to separate for 7 days a month. Is it better for someone to, keep the Daraisa? I'm not saying it's mutter, but, if someone's not so firm anyway and not going to keep it anyway, is it better to tell them to keep the Daraisa? They'll at least keep the Daraisa, not the Chumash Rabbi Zeira. So this goes back to what we discussed yesterday. To save someone from a big Aveira of a Daraisa, can you compromise and change your standards and, legitimize an illegitimate opinion? So there are different opinions about this, but from all of my Rebbeim, Yeshivas Rabbeinu Yisrael Chanan, I've heard that you cannot tell someone to violate the accepted halacha. You can't tell someone, you're just starting to become from, why don't you just keep the Daraisa, or you're not so from, but you're thinking about Taharas Meshacha, why don't you just keep the Daraisa instead of the Rabbanan? You can't tell someone that, because you can't tell someone that they're allowed to change the halacha, even to save them for a bigger Aveira. However, you can teach someone that there's a Daraisa din and there's a Rabbanan din, and if they on their own decide they only want to keep the Daraisa, okay, then they, you're allowed to teach them the Daraisa and the Rabbanan, and they can decide whatever they want. You just can't teach that it's okay to keep only Daraisa level. So in terms of education, clearly you can't paskin to violate the Rabbanan. In terms of giving hadracha to people, you can't give someone hadracha even if you think it's the right move for them and their journey is a bal tshuva, etc. You can't teach people to violate the Chumash Rabbi Zeira and to violate the Din de Rabbanan. However, you can teach people that there are two levels, and if where they're holding, they only want to keep one level and not the other level, and they understand that you didn't approve of it. You just taught them the halacha. And they decided, then you can. And therefore, sometimes when people are teaching, people aren't really from, they might teach a Darabana and Daraisa in a way where they leave the people the option to be as from as they can handle at this stage in their journey, but not where they say that it's okay to not be totally from. I think that's a very important distinction. Okay, so enough with philosophy. We're going to go on now to Siman Kof Pei Dalid to Hilchos Vestos. Now, Siman Kof Pei Dalid is, some parts of it might be a little confusing, because Vestos is dealt with, it's really the only topic in Hilchos Nida, unlike Bas V'chol Taruvos, where there's a lot of topics that are dealt with in different simanim, and you have to be mashal one simon to the other. The only topic is Vestos, which is dealt with in Siman Kof Pei Dalet and in Siman Kof Pei Tes. For the most part, the difference is, Kof Pei Dalet is, Veset is the day one's expecting her period. Kof Pei Dalet tells you, in general, is about how to behave on the day of the Veses. And Kof Pei Tes is in general about which day is the Veses. So Kof Pei Tes is how to calculate when the Veses is, and Kof Pei Dalet is mostly about, once you know when the Veses is, what do you do then? But there's a little overlap, and so whenever we get to something Kof Pei Dalet that ties in more to Kof Pei Tes, we'll mention it and we'll come back to it in Kof Pei Tes. So let's look at Kof Pei Dalet. Starts with the Rova Nashim Yishlam Vestos Rasvan Yodua. Most women have a fixed period that they see at a certain time. Yom Esrim, Lashim Yom, every 20 days, or Shloshim Yom, or every 30 days. This is a little bit tricky. It seems very clear in the Gemara that it was expected for a woman to have a fixed veses, to have a very fixed menstrual cycle. As a matter of fact, there's even one daya that like a woman's not allowed to get married if she doesn't have a veses, because like considered like this weird one in a million thing. So clearly the teva, the metzias in the days of Chazal, was that the vast majority of women had a veses kavua. In our days, that's different. The vast majority of women do not have a veses kavua. In our days, some women have a veses kavua, mamish, clockwork, every 32 days, whatever it may be, and hopefully yavor. Some women have a condition which is not always, you know, evidence of perfect reproductive health. They have a period which is not regular at all. You know, they'll, like, get a period, get the next period, 80 days later, the next period, 20 days later, the next period, 100 days later, the next period, 30 days later, and that often, you know, will show that they might have issues in fertility. Most women nowadays are semi-regular cycle. You know, this woman, she always gets her period, you know, between 25 and 35 days after her last period. She always gets her period at a more or less regular interval. But, you know, there's variation of you know, a week here, a week there. That's most women nowadays. So that's different than the time of Chazal. And it's not scientifically dachuk to say nishtana hateva here, that the teva changes, because the woman's menstrual cycle is very, very, it's not like saying we used to have three legs and now we have two legs. A woman's menstrual cycle is very, very sensitive to the environmental conditions. So you do that, you know, depending on the environmental conditions, you know, it'll totally change based on all kinds of factors of diet and of the influence of the other people around her and, you know, I'm sure a lot of other things also. So it could, it's not dachuk to say that nishtana hateva, one time the women were more regular. I don't know, you could blame it on whatever you like. You don't like GMOs, blame it on GMOs. You don't like ozone, blame it on ozone. Blame it on global warming, whatever you want. Pick whatever you want, you know, blame it on the internet. But lemaisa, nowadays, most women, it's perfectly healthy for a woman to have a veses kavua. Perfectly healthy for her to not have a veses kavua. But at least, you know, within a ballpark, okay, might be perfectly healthy for it to be totally random, although, you know, that's beyond my expertise. I'm a rabbi, not a doctor. But most women, within a certain ballpark order of magnitude, have a, you know, are somewhat regular. You know, every month, more or less. But they don't have veses kavua. But in their days, most women had a veses kavua. Any woman who has a veses kavua, meaning if your wife has a veses kavua, then you can sleep with her when it's not the time of the veses kavua, and she doesn't need to check beforehand to check it with a cloth and see if there's any red. She doesn't need to check because why would she be in need now? It's not her veses kavua. The post can even write that not only does the woman not need to check, the husband doesn't need to check. He doesn't need to ask his wife if she got her period, and they say even if she's sleeping, then he doesn't need to wake her up and ask her if she got her period, although the Achronim point out, well, if she's mamish sleeping, then it's not a problem Pilchus Nida, but it's a problem Pilchus Kedusha. The husband's not supposed to sleep with his wife, so they say what it means is even if she's groggy and she's awake, but, you know, she's not, you know, she's not awake enough to be, you know, on top of warning him whether or not she got her period, that's okay. Because you can assume she didn't get her period, just finishing the Mechaber. But if it's not the time of Tashmish, then the more bedikas you do, the better. And the Rama adds in the middle, Gamin lolahak with livdo gatsum lolfling tashmish lolahakar tashmish lolahakar. She also should not be machmir, not to check herself right before Tashmish or right after Tashmish, because yidlibo nokvo uporish. If she checks herself before Tashmish, her husband will think she's checking herself because she felt the hargosha, she felt she's getting her period, and he'll be nervous and not want to sleep with her. If she checks herself after Tashmish, the husband will think, what do you mean? She feels like she got her period during Tashmish. And next time, you won't want to sleep with her. And therefore, it might cause the separation between the husband and wife. And therefore, says the Ramah, she shouldn't do B'dika before Tashmish, she shouldn't do B'dika after Tashmish, but not during Tashmish. you know, not right before or after Tashmish, then the more she checks, the better, because even if it's not the time for a period yet, so it never hurts to be extra safe. Here, you might have noticed there's a big machlokas rishonim as to what's the din of bedikos before and after Tashmish for a woman who has a vestis kavua. Did you get the board, Cheskin? Okay, thanks. how many opinions are there in the Rishonim about this?
About which one?
About a woman who has a vestis kavua, whether she should do bedikos before or after Tashmish. So the truth is that this is more explicit later on. It's going to be repeated a little in Kaf Pei Vav.
Four.
Yeah. What?
We have four.
You have four? Okay, who are the four?
Tosus.
Tosus saying you should not check before or after.
Okay.
The Rambam saying, well, the Rambam we weren't exactly sure how you want to put it, but definitely he implied he thought afterwards, and beforehand he also thought that maybe you could. Although we weren't sure who it is that you shouldn't also there. The Ma'ariel and the Ugur said not afterwards, but before you could. And slight variation of that is the Rabbi Simcha quoted in some sources in Orz Ruach that they meant to do it before, but you shouldn't do it afterwards.
Okay. one second. Here the Ugur in the name of the Maharil. You don't need Bedika at all. Although you could be. Okay, good. So, let's just put this on the board. What's the Shita of? This is an Isha Sheyeshla Veses, and obviously we're talking about Shalom b'shas vesta, because b'shas vesta, we know, it's usher for the husband to sleep with his wife, so no shayla what to do before and after. So what b'dika should you do before Tashmish and after Tashmish? The Rambam is very machmir. Says the Rambam that, we'll see how to count it. After, it's a chiyuv to do it after Tashmish. After Tashmish, she has to check. And before Tashmish, he says, you know, tznius, let me just point out, tznius doesn't, in the Rishonim, doesn't mean what it means to us. To us, tznius is just like, you know, how you dress. In the Rishonim, they, don't misquote me, they believed in tznius and how you dress. They just use the word tznius more broadly, and tznius in general means your shamayim and being careful about averos, you know, including, but not limited to, what we call tznius nowadays. right, the tznius is very broad. So therefore, it's tznius, meaning it is, you know, preferable, like, you know, b'nei dos Torah, check before Tashmish. Also, the Maharil, again, quoted by the Ugur, is sort of similar to that. What does he say? At least the way they quote him. The Ugur quoting the Maharil and quoting the Orz Ruach says after Tashmish she can't, but it's good to be machmir before Tashmish.
Yeah, right.
That's similar to the Rambam. After Tashmish you can't, but it's sorry. Oh, I apologize. No, right. I mixed up. Okay, thank you. Sorry. Says the Ugur in the name of the Ugur. Alpi, the Maharil, and the Orz Ruach, they say that after Tashmish, it's usser, that's a strong word, but let's say lo tivdok, you know, ein livdok. She should not do a bedika after Tashmish. However, before Tashmish, therefore they say that it's a chumrah, you know, similar to the Rambam, but after Tashmish, she should not do a bedika. The Rabbeinu Simcha just says that he's a little more machmir. He says, no, it's a mitzvah beforehand. But she should not do... I guess that's... it's awfully similar, Rabbeinu Simcha, and I'm going to call them all one. Okay. I'm going to call them all one.
You don't think mitzvah and chuppah are different?
It's hard to tell. I mean, it's a matter of just where to draw the line. Here we have Rabin Simcha, you know, or Zeruah, Maharil, Agur, etc. Here it's, you should not do it after Tashmish, but it's a mitzvah or a chumrah. You know, either way, you know, it's all a matter of how you divide it. You can do whatever you want. It's not an obligation, but it's not silly. Right? It's good, but it's not an obligation. You know, what does mitzvah mean? Mitzvah doesn't mean an obligation. That would be a chiyuv. Mitzvah means it's like a mitzvah.
We were just thinking that one is advised, one is saying, not advised, but if you will, you can.
Because it says it make a little hefset. Okay, seder. And where do they get this idea that you dafka shouldn't do b'dika? Because what does the Gemara say? The Gemara says you should do b'dika. What does the Gemara answer? In king libo no fo porish, right? So what does the Gemara says, daf yudbeis or something? Says, in kain libo nokfo uporish. If so, he'll be nervous. It literally, his heart will pound in him, and he will separate from Tashmish. So what's this referring to? This is referring to Myri achar Tashmish. After Tashmish is when he'll be nervous. And what's the Svara? Before Tashmish, she doesn't have to, because it's not the time for a period. But it's okay, and why won't he be nervous? Because she'll say, I checked, and it's 100% clean. So he won't be nervous. But after Tashmish, she'll check, and even if she comes out clean, he'll say, you know what, why would she check after Tashmish? She must have, like, really bled during Tashmish, and then just through the Tashmish, it got covered, it got lost, and, you know, she didn't find it. But he'll really worry about it. The Tosfos, however, and most Rishonim, right? Really, most Rishonim say no. They say it's referring to both before and after Tashmish. Myri Bain Lifnei, Bain La'achar Tashmish. The Gemara actually says twice in King Libanokfo Porish, once before Tashmish. She shouldn't check before Tashmish, because he'll think maybe she had a hargusha and she bled and just didn't notice it. She shouldn't check after Tashmish. She'll think maybe she had a hargusha and bled and just didn't find it. So here we have a three-way analog Rishonim. Most Rishonim say, Bain before, Bain after, she shouldn't check not to scare her husband. The Ravina Simcha and others say, after she shouldn't check, but beforehand, you know, if she's very firm, she should, or even if she's not so firm, she should, Chesky says. And the Rambam says that no, if she's really firm, she should check before and after. According to the Rambam, what's the Gemara mean? Doesn't the Gemara say, Kain libo nokfo porish? Doesn't mean after Tashmish, that's a chiyuv. Doesn't mean before Tashmish, that's a proper for B'nai Torah. So here it's a little tricky, yeah?
Is that, like, directly in front of him? Is that a possible distinction? Like, he's not looking, that's what you should be doing?
That the Rambam only means if he's not there. You could say that
he didn't say it.
The Rambam is machayev for to do it when he's not looking. Okay, that's a little tricky, meaning it's not necessarily so practical. It's one thing to say she can do it when he's not looking, if it happens to work out. To say, like, you know, he's Tovea Tashmish. She says, okay, just don't look. You know, it's a little tricky. Like, you know, he's not that dumb. Right. So it's not so pashut. The likes of the Achronim say is, Myri Miyad La'achar Tashmish. There's something called the Shir Veset. Miyad La'achar Tashmish means, I mean, literally, we'll see. Miyad la'achar Tashmish. Like, mamish, as the Tashmish ends, she's doing a bedika. Miyad la'achar Tashmish is more scary. If she finds blood miyad la'achar Tashmish, then he's, you know, he may be chayiv a karban, and his tummy is a bol nida, then that means, like, she's becheskes bleeding during Tashmish. And therefore, the Rambam would say, and maybe it's a little dochot, only mamish miyad la'achar Tashmish. That's libo nokfo porish. If the second the Tashmish ends, she's already doing the bedika. That's scary, especially if the husband learned a little halacha. He went to the shiur of the Rav, and the Rav says, you should know if she does a bedika, miyad la'achar Tashmish. And she finds blood, that means you're a bol nida, and you're chayva karban, and you're an avarian, etc. So that's very scary to him. But if she waits a minute after Tashmish, then that's not so scary to him.
and it's okay. Okay, halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? So the mechaber is not so clear, and he comes back to Kufbei Dabla. The mechaber's lashon says she doesn't need bedika before tashmish, doesn't need bedika before tashmish. Sounds maybe like the Rambam or Rabbeinu Simcha, but he doesn't say she doesn't need bedika after tashmish. So it sounds like the Rambam, right? She doesn't need before tashmish, but it's still good. And the diyuk she needs after tashmish, and that is the opinion of the Rambam. Does the mechaber really paskin like the Rambam or not? Is not so clear because in Siman Kuf Pei Vav, he brings he brings two opinions. In Siman Kuf Pei Vav, he brings two opinions. One that she doesn't need at all before or after, and she shouldn't. Or the Rambam. So here is, like the Rambam, this is the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Pei Dalid, and this is the Mechaber in the beginning of Siman Kuf Pei Vav. In his second opinion, like Rav Rishonim, is the Mechaber in Siman Kuf Pei Vav in his first opinion, and the Ramah in Siman Kuf Pei Dalid. So halacha lemaisa, how do we paskin? For Ashkenazim, davar pashut. The Ramah tells you. The Ramah only comments on the Kuf Pei Dalet, and he tells you that that you should don't have to do, aren't encouraged to do bedikas either before or after tashmish, and now that you're discouraged and you're not allowed to do bedikas before or after tashmish. For Ashkenazim, the psak is 100% clear. For Sfardim, it's a little unclear. The Achronim argue. On the one hand, in Siman Kuf Pei Vav, he says, the opinion of the other Rishonim, viha Rambam. And the Rambam is Machmir. Usually, the Achronim assume when the Machaber has Stam v'yish Omrim, he Stam says one opinion. And then some people say, that's what he says. He says, really, you don't do bedikas, and you shouldn't. But the Rambam is Machmir. Usually, that means he's not like the Rambam. He's just telling you the Rambam is Machmir. He really passes like everyone else. On the other hand, it's tricky, because in Kuf Pei Dalet, he writes like the Rambam, and he only brings one opinion. On the other hand, he doesn't explicitly say like the Rambam Kuf Pei Dalet. He just implies like the Rambam Kuf Pei Dalet. If you look at it, he does Kuf Pei Dalet. All he says is you don't have to do it before Tashmish. That could fit Rav Rishonim. It just sounds like the Rambam. So Lemaisa, there are different opinions about this. The Minhag nowadays, the Sfardim, is to assume that even Sfardim don't hold like the Rambam. And nowadays, being the Ashkenazim, being the Sfardim, hold like most Rishonim, and if a woman has a Vesses, we'll get to it. If she doesn't, then, and Lemaisa, we pass this way, if she doesn't also, then she doesn't have to and shouldn't do bedikas either before or after Tashmish. That's the Minhag Olam, even of the Sfardim. It's only the Teimanim, who always follow the Rambam, they still do bedikas before or after Tashmish, but, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I'm not a sociologist. I don't know how many Teimanim still keep the Teimanim and Hagim and how many of them have assimilated into, you know, the rest of the Jewish world. But Lemaisa, certainly if you're not Teimani, then you don't hold like the Rambam. And at least some Teimanim that I know follow the Rambam, because that's their Masorah. I have no idea. I'm not a bucky in how many Teimanim stay under the Roman Hagim and how many Teimanim change to regular Sephardic and Hagim, and what their poskim say about that. So we'll leave that for their poskim. One just ha'ara is the shalobishas tashmish kalamar belivdok reza mishubachas. Right? What does that mean? That we know, halachically, we'll see, that there are times a woman is obligated to do a bedika. When is a woman obligated to do a bedika? Two circumstances. Number one, in her veset, she has to check if she got her period or not. And number two, after she got her period, she has to do hefzek tara bedika shivanikiyim to make sure that she is shivanikiyim. But what about stam? Shalobish to stam. Shalobish as tashmish. Like a regular day. Or even before or after tashmish if her husband happens to be not looking. Right? So, but she's also like shalobish as tashmish. So, pshat of the Shulchan Aruch, you know, the sort of ikar din halacha, would be that if it's not when her husband's noticing, I mean looking, I mean noticing, like at the around the time of Tashmish, then the more bedikas the better. She should do bedikas all the time just to have more Yerushalayim. Of course, I think everyone admits there's an exception. Some women have very sensitive skin. If they, every time you check, you rub against the skin,
but also makom. And if you check too much, then you'll scratch it, and it'll start making a cut that'll bleed. And then I think it's the Rapasha, that for that woman, Kala Marba Libdok is not Meshuvach, because she's not going to, the point of Marba Libdok is to tell if you're Nida or not. Here, she's just going to confuse herself, because she's going to find blood, and it's not really Nida. So that's a double Pasha. That, I think, less mandapulik, that if a woman does sees if she does too many Vedikos, then she makes a scratch, then of course she shouldn't do that, because that's going to confuse her, and the point of this halacha is to get knowledge, not to get confused. How about a regular woman? So, there are different minhagim. Some people say a regular woman, kol marba libdok harisa meshuvach. However, the Rav Moshe Feinstein says in the Tshuvas at the end of Rabbi Eider's book, he says that was maybe in the old days when, you know, even, I don't mean the old days, only in the days of Chazal, when they knew exactly all the shades of red. Even in the old days, in the days of the Rishonim, when there was less confusion and less sfeikos about how to paskin, what color was what, etc., then if you did a lot of bdikos, you would get more and more clarity. Rav Moshe says, however, nowadays, when we're very mesupik and different rabbis have different shitas about how to paskin the colors, and there's some colors that in his community they were machron, even though they didn't really think they had to be machron, they were just nervous about, and you get into a lot of sfeikos, and every time a woman does a bedikos, she has to go to a rabbi and have sfeikos, and the rabbi's not sure, and he has to guess, and he has to estimate. Therefore, the Rosh Bain says, maybe nowadays, kolmar belivdok is not meshuvach, because it's only meshuvach to get more vados. To get more sfeikos is not meshuvach. You might have said, no, to be machmir yourself is also meshuvach. But Rosh Bain assumes not that way. He assumes only meshuvach to be machmir, and no bevadai that what you're doing is right. To just have sveikos and then have to decide what to do, either we makel in a suffik or we machmer in a suffik, neither of those is meshuvach. And therefore, lemaisa, the minhag in many communities, including ours nowadays, is that we do not encourage kalamar v'livdo kareza meshuvach. And even though the machaber paskind, and it's not the machaber, it's a mishnah, right? The first mishnah, the second parak of Nida says kalamar v'livdo kareza meshuvach. Even though that's the Ikra Din, that was back when they had the expertise to paskin bivadai. Nowadays, many of our psakim are besafik anyway, so there's no point being mar besvekos, and therefore the general minhag, they're probably different communities, but from what I've seen, the minhag is that mar belivdok is not mishubachas, because you just get into svekos, and there's no mitzvah to get into svekos, the mitzvah is only to have vados. So the mice, I would not recommend kol marba libdok harisa meshuvachas bezman hazeh.
What's halacha if she would see? Like, is this kesem? Like, what is this?
Oh, if she finds dam?
Yeah, and there's no hargasha, right?
You mean if she finds dam in the bedika?
Yeah.
Okay, good point. We'll get to that. Maybe brief mention that. Lamaisa, we treat a bedika as a re'iyah.
Oh.
Why we treat a bedika as the re'iyah? Because she probably had a hargasha, because she feels the bedika cloth, and that feels could cause a similar feeling to the hargasha of blood, and therefore maybe she really had a hargasha. Okay, then you have to ask what a hargasha is, etc. It really sounds like a hargasha is not, like the Sisal Yezer says, cramps and headaches, because her bedika cloth is not that. It sounds more like the hargasha is like feeling something inside the osomakom. But the Lamaisa, and we'll come back to it in some kutsari. Okay. That is Sif Aleph. I'll just point out one thing. The Shach says in Sifkat and Beis, that if she doesn't have a Veses Kavua, then until 30 days, she is called Shelo B'Shas Vesta, and we assume she's not getting her period. Okay, that's a little controversial, because how do you know when she's getting her period? But Lamaisa, the basically two weird deals with that. Maybe we'll discuss that again in Simon Kuf Peifav. We'll come back and chaser that when we have more of a context for it. So let's go on to Sif Beis. Sif Beis tells us, B'shas Vesta tzorch lifrosh mimena ona achas. That B'shas Vesta, what's the ikar halacha of a Veses? Is that the Chazal Darshan? Okay, at least seem to Darshan. At least B'derech HaSmachta, if not real. V'hizartem is B'nei Sholmi Tumosam. Right, that's at the end of Parshas So we're okay, someplace in the middle of Vayikra. Vizartes v'nei shomim tshuva. Some vizartem. What does vizartem mean?
Export.
What?
Export.
No, that would be vizhartem, with a zayin hey resh. This is vizartem. It's milashon nazar, means to separate. Again, not vizhartem, like azhara. Vizartem, like nazoru achor, nazir echav, miyayim v'shechar yazir, to be separate. You should separate b'nei shomim from the tuma. So, what does it mean, separate Bnei Israel from the Toma? You know, it could just mean, well, don't be Tomei and go to the Beis HaMikdash, etc. Yeah. But then, it's an unnecessary pasuk. So it means you should stay away from even a chance of Toma. What does it mean to stay away from a chance of Toma? After all, you know, you have to live. You have chances of Toma, and if you have become Tomei, you'll go to the mikvah. No, so Chazal is what it means that a husband and wife shouldn't sleep together during the Veses. Because otherwise, if I go someplace where there might be a dead mouse, okay, so if there is, I'll go to the mikvah. What's the big deal? But if I sleep with my wife during the time of the vestis and she bleeds, then I've done an avera already. Then I've done an avera by sleeping with her when she's a nida. And therefore, Chazal darshin bizartes v'nei shalom tumasam mikan v'nei yisrael sheyifshim yishoseihem ashar l'nei yisrael sheyifshim yishoseihem shomach l'vestan, that they should separate from their wives close to the time of the Veses. And what's the reason again? Because what if the Veses comes in the middle of Tashmish? Then it'll be instantaneous Aveira with no way to save yourself. And therefore, you should avoid the situation in the first place.
Is this like taking it sad and like, you know, Misasek, or like if there's a Shmek? I'm saying, Sefer Shem Miskavim. Like, he wasn't expecting her to become Nida. That's their Shikla.
Okay,
there.
You're getting into Chomer Sugyas here, but the Gemara says very clearly that this is not called misasek. First of all, misasek b'chalav marayis is chayiv. Take it back, right?
Okay,
so it's not so poshut, and it's not called anus, because all you have to do is avoid her once a month, and there's no need to sleep with her exactly that time every of the month, and therefore you're not an anus that you have to do it. Right? If someone sleeps with his wife in a regular time and she becomes a need in the middle of Tashma, she's anus. What's he supposed to do? You know, he's supposed to get married, right? We're not Catholics. He's an onus, but during the Vestas he can avoid her. So therefore, Taka, he'd be chayv a carbon. Okay, now, the question is this d'oraisa or d'rabanan? So the Gemara has a machlokes, Vestos d'oraisa or Vestos d'rabanan. Man number Vestos d'oraisa holds that it's a chazaka, a woman will become a nida during her Veset. And therefore, of course, you have to be purish from your wife during her Veset, and after her Veset, we have to assume she's a nida. So if a woman's veset passed and she didn't check, then we assume she's a nida mida oraisa. That is the man revesos oraisa. Obviously, what pasuk in the Torah is the man revesos oraisa based on? Even better.
By Cohen, by the pasuk serves for Chazaka, by
Sharmut. Sharmut, right? It happens three times. Then you assume it'll happen again. So too here. If it happens three times, you assume it happens again. Three times is a chazaka, right? So if a woman gets her period on day 32, next 32, mita oraisa, she's a nida. Like, unless she checks and proves she's not, she's a nida. Spirit, there is a manda omar, right? Vestos mita oraisa, or vestos, doraisa, there's a manda or vestos durabanan. Vestos midoraisa holds two things. That A, chayav lifrosh midoraisa, achara veset, unless she can prove that she didn't get her veses. Obviously, proof beats chazaka. Achara veses, she is bechenskas nida midoraisa. It's man or vestos doraisa. Man number Vestos Drabanon says that Achar Habeses, she is Bechezkas Tehora. She is Bechezkas Tehora after the Veses. Okay, she needs a B'dikim with Drabanon.
Ella Shetzricha Livdok Atzma Midrabanon.
Okay, after the vet says she has to just check herself with your opponent to see if she got her period or not, but she's really becheskas tohora because vestos only grew up on it. Now, here is the big machlokas that the Pesukei Teshuva quotes in the Yehuda, and the machlokas in the Shach and the Yehuda is really machlokas Rishonim. Says the Shach, who cut in hay, Hayne midrabbanan, kin eskamas roposkin, rachronin devestos derabbanan. We paskin like mando revestos derabbanan. Right. I don't mean to personal prejudice here, just psak halacha. We do reject manda revestos d'araisa. We pass like manda revestos is like manda revestos d'rabbanan. says the shach, and therefore the chi of prinsha is midrabbanan. It's only midrabbanan vestos. Meaning, really, we don't believe in vestos. Here, the achronim try to figure out. The rishonim don't talk so much. Why don't we believe in vestos? Why haven't shermulet? Why shouldn't it be daraisa? So here, basically, there are two deis in the achronim. If you look in the back here, the chavos da'as says that we pass in vestos darabbanan. We don't believe in shermulet because it's asuya l'shtanos. A shermulet, once he's wild, can be wild his whole life. But a woman, eventually, her period will change. She'll have menopause, whatever. And therefore, it's chazaka yudstuya l'shtanos, so it's not a chazaka midaraisa. The Sidri Tari here says a different shot. He says that because you have a conflicting chazaka, on the one hand, she's chezkas veses. On the other hand, right now, she's tohora. She is chezkas tara. So the chezkas tara cancels out the chezkas veses. By the ox, you don't have that. You don't have a conflicting chazaka. Okay, Lemaisa, somehow the Manda Midoraisa is based on Shormuad. The Manda Midorabanan say, we don't care about Shormuad, either because it's Asuri L'shtanos, because every woman will eventually have to change her period, or because there's a Cheskas Tara against it. Right now she's Tahora, so she stays Tahora. Goes against the idea that she'll get her period. And therefore, okay, both those have a lot more lumnus, but not for now. We Paskin Drabanan. Says the Shach, therefore, he appreciates Drabanan. What about the Pasuk of Izartem? And the pasuk of Vihizartem is an asmachta bi'alma. The Pesachei Tshuva quotes the Noda Bihuda as making a chiluk. Says the Noda Bihuda. No. Bidi Eved. We assume that Vestos Durabanan. We don't assume you got your period. There's actually another chiluk. I should be explicit. Manor Vestoraisa says, once the Veset passes, Midoraisa, we assume you got your period. Mandar Midoraisa. Mandar Veset Rabbanan says, once the Veset passes, even Midorabbanan, we don't assume you got your period. You just have to do a bedika to be on the safe side. So it says in the Note of Yehuda, that Acharkach, Vestos, Bidyevit, let's say, the Bidi Eved. I don't mean Bidi Eved. I really mean Achar HaVeset. She is Tahora Midoraisa. After the Veset Midoraisa, where we wrote that, but he says the Chi of Prinsha is Midoraisa. And Vihizartem is a drasha gemura. It's a real daraisa, Vihizartem. That drasha is a drasha gemura midaraisa. And he says, hold on a second. What are you saying? Midaraisa, she's not allowed to sleep with her husband because we think she'll get her period. But after it passes, we think she didn't get her period. How could it be that we think she didn't get her period, but then when it passes, we don't think she'll get her period? So he points out the sugi, like getting the flam or something, that Shema Meis Chashina, Shema Yamas Chashina, Shema Meis Lo Chashina, there's differences in Chazakas. We might be Choshesh something will happen beforehand, but that doesn't mean that we'll be Choshesh it happen afterwards, or just very simply, you could say that it's not that Midoraisa we know she's going to get her period. No, it's just that Midoraisa we have a chiyuv to be careful. So what does be careful mean? We don't think she's going to get her period, but we have to be careful anyway. And we have to be careful by avoiding Tashmish during the period. So what he basically says is,
is that
we don't assume Toma, but
we have to be choshesh, but we have to be choshesh b'shas maisa. Again, it's a little tricky because afterwards they can sleep together, and he doesn't have to be choshesh about her period. Just beforehand, he can't sleep with her during the period. So it's a bit of a chiddush. But you have to say that's the gzeiros hakasuv of Yizartem. You know, we have to be choshesh b'shas maisa. Afterwards, we don't assume she's tmeya. It's cheskas tara. But b'shas maisa, we have to be choshesh. Anyway, even though it's not so logical, let's think about it. Let's say my wife's vesses is now. I can't sleep with her now because she might get her period. But I can wait a few hours and then sleep with her without checking. And I assume she didn't get her period. So why later can I assume she didn't get her period? But at the time, I have to be machmer. So lechara, one answer is that at least you have to say that maybe that's what we learned from Yizartem, that there's a difference in choshesh, what will happen in the future, and choshesh, what will happen in the past. In the once the veses passes, you are not choshesh, she got her period. But before the veses comes, you're choshesh that she might get her period. Let's say this a little better. And this is what the Nodi Yehuda's Lashon. Shema, you know, Terech, L'shema Terech Haishina. We're afraid she might in the future. I can't sleep with her now because in the middle of Tashvish, and 1 minute from now she might get her period. But L'shema Rasa Lo Haishinan. If the period already passed, then we don't worry. The Veses passed. That she got her period, and we assume she is Bechezkes Tara. Again, that's not a scientific distinction. That's a formal halachic distinction. And maybe we only say it because we have a Gzeiros HaKasuv, and you know the Gzeiros HaKasuv can only take us one step. That's the famous shita of the Nodi Yehuda. Really, this is not a machlokes shachar Nodi Yehuda. This is a big machlokes. This is a big machlokes achronim. really, the Rashi, and maybe the Rambam, there's a big machlokas with the Rambam, means if you want to get into it, Rashi and maybe the Rambam, hold like the Nodi Yehuda, and some others, Rov Rishonim, hold like the Shach, that it's really only drabanan legamrei, even lechachila beforehand, even leshema tireh is only drabanan. Halacha lemaisa, most poskim assume like the shachir against the Nodi Yehuda. It's not a derech pashat, but most poskim assume like the shach. Halacha lemaisa, we assume generally like the shach that it's only drabanan. The Pesachei Tshuva and Sukkot and Dalet brings some possible nafiminas, like, can you be Mekel, you know, B'makom, you know, that otherwise you get divorced? What if the only chance you have to sleep with her husband is on the Veses? Then if it's Rabbana, maybe the word goes there to make her get divorced. If it's Daraisa, then it's still Aser. Well, it could be even if it's Rabbana. You can't violate it Rabbana, even if you might have to get divorced. So, Lemaisa, we'd be Machmer on that. We're generally Machmer on it, but even though it's only Drabanan, but we hold Sinister Drabanan. We'll come back to that at the end of this siman. The Agav, there are actually two different formulations. The Rishonim, Rashi seems to say that Somach Leveses, even near the Veses, is Doraisa through the Yizartem. There are other Rishonim who hint, like the Rabban, that maybe, no, near the Veses is only Drabanan, but at the minute of the Veses might be Doraisa, but we're not going to get into that distinction right now, just keep it in your back pocket. So let's move on. Says, yes.
After the Veses, like, we assume she's Anita, so...
No, we don't. We hold Veses to our button. Everyone agrees after the Veses, we don't assume she's Anita. No, so here's the tricky part. If Veses is Doraisa, after the Veses, we assume she's Anita Midoraisa. If Veses is Darabanan, according to most Rishonim, we'll come back to it. It's not that we think she needs to be Rabbanan. Even in Rabbanan, she don't think she's Anita. She just has to do a bedika to be on the safe side. So Veses Rabbanan is pretty makom. Huh. Yeah.
Are any of the Nachmanid Biskachur brings down
a local Isa? First of all, they don't really come up, especially since most women don't have a Veses nowadays anyway.
So it doesn't come up. Meaning, they're arguing with Vesas Kavua, right? If a woman doesn't have Vesas Kavua, then Pasha, there's no Indian Daraisa here. There's no Havamina of Daraisa. They don't really come up, and if they did, then it would be hard to be Makel. But they don't really come up. I've never really heard of them come up. I mean, he has a weird case, right? A woman who always only has one night between mikvah and her next period, and that happens to be her Vesas. That doesn't really come up. Although we'll see how it comes up Lamaisa at the end, in Sif Yud, it'll come up Lamaisa. Right? Let's say your husband's going on a business trip during the time of the Vesas. Should he sleep with his wife because it was Rabban and they weren't Gozer, Vimakom, leaving on a trip, or should he not? And that's where we'll paskin Allah Lamaisa. Although we'll be Machber Lamaisa. Yes, Elchanan.
So, according to the two Vesas are Deraisa, and then it's, after the Vesas, it's the Cheskas Nidami Deraisa. So, that means, I think Ray mentioned it, but it was part checking. Is that it, even if you did check, can you check with the...
Okay, I won't come back to it, I'll just mention it. Now, let's be, because you're right, I was sort of saving it, but I shouldn't have. So what happens after the Vesas, Lamanda Amar Doraisa and Lamanda Amar Midrabanan? So, let's just, after the Vesas, so there are two possibilities. One is, she checked at the Vesas time and was clean. The other possibility is she didn't check at the moment of the Vesas. Right? Those are the two possibilities. Right? So, if you hold Vesas to Oraisa, which we don't, right? Neither the Shach nor the Nun Yehuda holds Vesas to Oraisa, then here she is Tahora. If she checked at that moment it was clean, then Avadai beats a Chazaka. What if she didn't check at that moment? Then she's Tameya, and it doesn't help to check later. She's Tameya, and it doesn't even help to check later.
Isn't that a chumra which would be like talking about a little bit cooler? Like the same way that we mix up the days, like what the, like, Rebbe and then Zero looks out. Like if she, you treat her as if she's Tameya, even though she didn't actually see blood, then maybe she'll see it afterwards, not like. To start her clock early.
Okay, unless we just tell her, like, you know, you're Mikul Kalas Lemenyana. You know, you should know now you're Mikul Kalas. You don't know for sure. I mean, there's such a concept. Later on, we see that that in Sif Tes. In the test, we'll see that there is sort of another possible opinion here. One second. I just want to make sure that I'm saying it over right. Give me a second. Okay, I have to check this. Let's just write according to the mainstream halacha then.
Manda Amar Vestos Durabanan says that if she checked at the time she's clean, she's Tahora. And what if she didn't check at the time? Then no problem. She just checks later, and if she finds it's clean, then she's Tahora. So it's not like Mandam Drabanan holds the same things Mandam Daraisa, just on a Drabanan level. Because Mandam Daraisa holds she's also Daraisa, she's stuck. There's no chance. Mandam Drabanan says she's not entering Drabanan. She just has to check later. What does later mean? If she remembers a day later, a week later, a month later, 3 hours later, you know, basically she's going to be fine. Just check later and she's fine. So therefore, since we pass Drabanan, if she forgets to check during Vesis, she's just fine. She'll check later. It's no big deal.
It sounds like if she doesn't check, and there would be, she would be Tamei Midrabanan, no?
She wouldn't be, she still, I mean, she would be Chosheshes Midrabanan, but I don't want to call her Tamei because she can always check and fix herself, right? Okay. She's not like, she never assumes she's Tamei. She's just in doubt until she checks.
Okay.
Okay, Vaitre. But we'll come back to that and Siftes, and we'll see it's a little more complicated. Okay, let's continue where you were. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch, she has to be Purish one ona, v'lo mishar krevos, el mitashmesh bilvad. She doesn't have to refrain from other types of contact, only from tashmesh alone. Meaning, during the Vesis, when a woman's a nida, she has to refrain from tashmesh and from all touching and from a lot of things. What do we call all the gzeiros that Chazal made of things the husband and wife are not allowed to do in their nida? Harchakos, we call them, right? And we'll see that the way we paskin, the harchakos, you know, husband, wife, or anita, are more so than the harchakos, you know, me and a stranger who's forbidden to me, right? For the obvious reason that the husband and wife are used to sleeping together, so there's more of a chash that they might forget and sleep together than if I stam, you know, meet a woman in the street, where it's highly unlikely. That, you know, we would have a relationship. Anyway, Lamaisa, all those things are okay. All they have to refrain from is Tashmish. And the Svara is very clear because they can do whatever they want. It's no problem, right? Worst comes to worst, if she gets her period, then they'll stop doing it. But in Tashmish, if she gets her period, they're already in the middle of Tashmish, and, you know, it'll happen simultaneously. They'll already be in Tashmish, and they'll already be doing an Avera. That is the opinion of the Mechaber. And the Rama of Lachor agrees, because he doesn't argue. However, the Shach brings this, brings from the, that that's the opinion of all the Rishonim. Basically, also from the Rishonim. But the Trumas Hadeshen, but the Trumas Hadeshen says that even the other Kravos are usher, not all the Kravos. No one holds you need Harchakos during a Vesis. Meaning, no one holds that the husband and wife can't pass things to each other and can't eat the same table and all those things during a Vesis. There is no such Shita. They can even sleep on the same bed during the Vesis. Only Chibuk V'Nishuk. Because Chibuk V'Nishuk is something which, as you can imagine, is very easily leads to Tashmish. So that's the opinion of the Bach. And he says, El Shemesayim Miu Nirada Machar Be'ela Tavo Alav Bracha. So basically the Bach and the Rambah and the Mechaber and Rov Poskim all say that. Let's review again. During the Vesis, two things are clear. Tashmish is clearly usser. Shar harchakos are clearly mutter. No one says you have to refrain for harchakos. The chlok is just chibuk v'nishuk, hugging and kissing, etc. So here, the mechaber and the Ramah say mutter. The Shach quotes the Bach that hanira da machmer tovu lav bracha. So the Bach and the Shach say, Hamachmir Tavo Alav Bracha. Hamachmir Tavo Alav Bracha, okay, there are different ways of interpreting it. Some people say that means, you know, okay, if you want to, then great, you'll be blessed, wonderful, but there's no pressure. And most of modern day poskim, at least, and even classical poskim, understand that when a poskim says Hamachmir Tavo Alav Bracha, what he means, if it's not a Shasachach and you're a Ben Torah, that you should be Machmir. You know, that's really like the proper thing to do. It's not required, but it's the proper thing to do in normal circumstances, to be machmer and chibuk v'nishuk. And the Taz here goes even further, says, min hadin it's usher, based on a rush. This is not so pashut. The rush is talking about avelos. He's not talking about vestos at all. So how do you compare avelos and vestos? It's very tricky. Like, each one has things that make more machmer or more mekel. So he says, it's not like the Taz is quoting a rush. He's quoting a rush in we're cutting the Benavilus and saying, if the Rosh is Machmer and Avelus, then he'd also be Machmer here. Which is, you know, not obvious, but the Taz says, Aser Alpidin, then the Piskei Tshuva quotes here, ends of gotten hay, that the Tshuva's Radvaz says it is mutter, and you shouldn't make more chumras, you know, it's enough, let people keep the din, don't invent new chumras, and make it harder, so we should just add the Radvaz here. The Radvaz says that it is totally mutter, and we don't need more chumras. Okay, this is very controversial.
What was the Trumas Hadeshin again? You mentioned?
Oh, the Trumas Hadeshin was Machmer on this. He was the Machmer on this. So we could put, you know, here we have Rov Rishonim, and here we have the Trumas Hadeshin. I'm not going to put the Rush, because he doesn't say anything. It's just the Taz's own deduction. So the Taz says, like the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Machaber and the Ramon and Vase, like most Rishonim, and the Shach and Machmer, you can compromise.
Even though the Trumas Hadeshin and Taz have like aren't coming from different angles. I mean, the Taz is based on the Rush. The Trumas Hadeshin seemingly is based off of variety, which doesn't exist.
But they say the same thing in the end.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying they're coming from the same place. Right. They're just ending at the same place.
Like one of those
right. Okay. Anyway, Lemaisa, Halacha Lemaisa, they're very different. I'm talking about this, many people assume, like the Shach and the Bach, that it is proper to be Machber on this. Very well, like Paskins, like the Machaber and the Ramah, that like the Radvaz's logic, that we shouldn't make new chumras, and we should work on keeping the Ikar Hadin. So, this is very controversial, but my Masorah is like the Machaber and the Ramah, that it is mutter. However, I think everyone admits that it's subject to sound judgment and common sense, that the person has to know their judgment in the situation. Obviously, it doesn't mean once you get oneself into a position which is impractical, you know, halachically. And especially, I would add, especially since they're arguing about Lechora, about a Vesis Kavua. Nowadays, most women don't even have a Vesis Kavua. So it could very well be that maybe even the Machmirim would be molded to be Mekel if it wasn't a Vesis Kavua. We don't know. But certainly not more Machmer, and usually more Mekel. So therefore, certainly since most women don't have Vesis Kavua, then, you know, one doesn't have to feel a lot of pressure to be Machmer in this. So Lamaisa, I think you can be Mekel. Although there are different Menhagim about this. But in any case, even the Mekelim would, of course, say that one should use common sense.
So what are we talking about? Like, what are we discussing nowadays if it's not a Vesis Kavua? I mean,
a Vesis She'eino Kavua, which we'll get to. That means certain if it doesn't happen three times, it only happens once.
Oh, but then they still not Tashmish on that.
Then she still has to not be, right, she'll refrain from Tashmish. But, you know, you know, it might make sense that you don't have to take all the Chumras if the Vesis She'eino Kavua. Or maybe you do. Okay, depends who you ask. Now, how long do you have to be Poresh and Ona? Right, now, the Veses means the exact time of the period. The woman gets her period at 5 o'clock. The Ona, an Ona means, I don't think there's a word for it in English, is there? Is a day or a night, like 12 hours. That's called an Ona. All over Shas, even having nothing to do with Chosnida. That's called an Ona. I can't think of a word for it in English. An Ona means a day or a night, 12 hours. So he says, if she's expecting her period during the day, you have to be Purish that whole day cool. A feeling vessel so full. Even if she's expecting her period a minute before Shkia, Purish the whole day. And your mutter at the nighttime. And if you're expecting your period in the beginning of the day, then you're Purish the whole day and your mutter the night before. Okay, whether it's three times or one, that's what we call three times called the Vesis Kavua, the real Vestos that Chazal talked about. And one time is a Vesis She'eino Kavua. Okay, so now this, what this means is that, and this is really a Mefurish Gemara, even though not all Rishonim agree, but it's a Mefurish Gemara. What it means is that it doesn't matter how close it is to the Vesis, right? If a woman, it's not like you have to be Purish a certain number of hours around the Vesis. You have to be Purish that daytime or nighttime. What that means, let's say a woman's expecting her period first thing in the morning, you'll be Purish 12 hours after the time she's expecting, but only 1 minute before the time she's expecting. And if she's expecting her period right at the end of the night before the sun rises, you'll be forced 12 hours before the period and only 1 minute after the period. Or if it's at midnight, you'll be forced 6 hours before, 6 hours after. Meaning, it could be random whether you're forced a lot of hours before or after. The ikkers will be forced the daytime or the nighttime. Okay, and it was never clear to me whether, you know, you never know. Is it because scientifically Chazal had an idea that a day veses could change any time during the day but would never get delayed to the night or earlier at the night? And a night veses could go any time in the night but wouldn't move to the day? Or is it just that in halacha, that's how you do, you paskin based on time periods? I don't know, not sure. But this is the accepted halacha. Now we have two shitas, though, which make this halacha a little more complicated. I'm going to need your help, Chesky. And those are the shitas of the Avi Asaf and the shita of the Or Zeruah. Now, one thing which is not clear from the Nosei Kelim that you would read here, you might pick it up from the Beis Yosef, but definitely not clear in the later Achronim, and only the Sar Sofer really notices it, is that they're really the same people behind these shitas. Because the Or Zeruah, first of all, the Avi Asaf is the name of a book that we don't call by that name. We call by the name of the author. What do we call that book? The Rav Yah. The Rav Yah is the Avi Asaf. Notice Avi Rav Yah. His name was Eliezer ben Yoel, if I'm not mistaken.
He's not Eliezer.
What?
The Avi Ezer is not the Rav Yah.
That's another name for that book. Yeah, they're all the same. All the same book. Yes.
And that was Rav Yah.
Yes. No. All the same book. The Rav Yah's grandfather was the Ravan. Okay, these are very chashuposkim, meaning the Rav Yah, like you look in the Mordechai and all the Ashkenazic, later Ashkenazic Rishonim, he's like very, very, very chashuv. The Ravan is, you know, sort of quoted by the middle Ashkenazic poskim, and then it trickles down to the later Rishonim. The Ravan was the Rav Yah's grandfather, right? The Ravan's son, Lord Rav Yoel HaLevi, is quoted a lot in the Rav Yah and the Mordechai, and then his son is the Rav Yah. Okay, so the Ravan, and he's one of the earliest book of Ashkenazic Halacha among the Rishonim. The Or Zeruah, they call this the Sheet of the Asaf and the Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah actually quotes this, he says, from the Avi Asaf. So, I don't know, on my Bar Ilan, I don't have where this is in the Rav Yah. I don't know, they a few years ago, they published some new volumes. I don't know if anyone checked and found this in the Rav Yah. Like, you know, I still think they might not have printed the whole Rav Yah yet. I'm not sure. But in any case, they're both found in the Ravan. Meaning it's, you know, three lines of Ravan, and within the same line you find both these shitas. So both these shitas are from the Ravan, both these shitas are from the Rav Yah, and the Or Zeruah only happens to quote one of these shitas, not the other. So one becomes named the Sheet of the Or Zeruah, because he quoted this Rav Yah, quoting his grandfather, the Ravan. And the other is named the Rav Yah, because the Agos Mamonius quotes it from the Rav Yah. It was obviously in the Rav Yah. I don't know if we have that on our bookshelf, that volume. We don't have all the Simonim, or maybe we do. I don't know. I have to check. They published a lot of them recently. Anyway, Lemaisa, what are these two shitas? So one shita is the, and what does the Beis Yosef have to say about this, or is it ruin this Avi Asaf? Nice things or not nice things?
Nice.
Right, okay. He's nice. But he's not, but he doesn't think it bears any halachic weight. He thinks these are strange shitas. He thinks they're strange shitas, especially since the shita of the Or Zeruah is against a mefurish gemara. Like flat out against a mefurish gemara. Not 100% sure what to do. I mean, let's see what the shita was. Anyway, one is the shita of the Avi Asaf. The Sheet of the Asaf, meaning the Rav Yah, and it's also in the Ravan. You can find it there. We have a Ravan on the bookshelf, beginning of Shin Yud Ches. Very simple. What his Sheetah is, that it's not a day. How do you express a Sheetah in modern day terminology? The Ona is not a day or a night. It is 12 hours on our modern clocks. 12 60-minute hours. I hope you weren't too confused. The Shach talks about, he says Shosmanios. The Shach used the word Shosmanios, the opposite of how we do. We use Shosmanios to mean sundial hours. When he says Shosmanios, he means 60-minute hours.
In addition, most of us have their clocks that
What?
In the edition that most of us use, they revise that shach.
Okay, I don't think it should revise the shach, meaning the shach isn't chayiv to use words the same way we use the words. They should just put a note on the side saying, you should know, he means a different thing in the word than people do in modern times.
They put Zmanios in parentheses and put Shavios in
right.
brackets.
So I wouldn't have done that, because it's not like there's a one gerse in the shach. It's just that, you know, it's a word that he used to mean one. There's no right or wrong. You can use a word to mean whatever you want, right? What does Zmanios mean? Time-based. They're both time-based. That's what kind of time. Anyway, so okay. When he says manios, he means shavos. So the Avyasaf says v'ona equals 12 60-minute hours. Right? 12 60-minute hours. Now the only question is, which 12 60-minute hours? Right? So the Taz has two possibilities and says they're both crazy. What are the Taz's two possibilities that are both crazy? I think it's two.
Or 13 and 3rd, but like
or, either
12 afterwards,
or right? 12 before. So, or 12 what?
Or 12 before. And we weren't sure if he was saying also a possibility of like it being sort of the center.
I thought he was. I thought that was his closest to being sane.
I thought he introduced all three.
He doesn't like any of them, right?
Right.
It's
fine. So the one where he's in the center with it having 6 hours of like, I don't know,
pole.
Right. So what is this? So it does make any sense. So says the Taz, maybe 12 hours, I think maybe first he says after the Vesses. Or says the Taz, maybe 12 hours before the Vesses. Or says the Taz, maybe 6 hours before the Vesses and 6 hours after the Vesses. Okay, what's the only problem with all three of these? Is that they're against the Gemara, right? Problem is that they're against the Gemara, and therefore says the Taz, with all due respect to the Avyasaf, we do not understand what he might have said, what he might have meant, and why, so we reject this legamre. However, the Shach tries to defend the Avyasaf, and the Shach says, he has a way that's not against the Gemara. What's his pshat in the Avyasaf? He Taka has an interpretation of the Avyasaf that's not against the Gemara.
Gemara's sure. Talking on an average.
That's the best question. If you take off a little bit of times or add a little bit.
Yes. What he says it means, can we assume for the sake of simplicity that like high noon is 12 and midnight is 12? Even though it's not really true. Like in Yerushalayim, it's on the average. 1140, and it shifts during the year based on the fact that the orbit is elliptical, but that's a different inyan. The Shach says, very pashut, it just means 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. It means a yom, onas yom, equals 6 o'clock a.m., to 6 o'clock p.m. and onas laila equals 6 o'clock p.m. to 6 o'clock a.m. Again, it's not exactly 6 o'clock. You have to, you have to work out based on where you are in your time zone. And he says, now fits the Gemara. What did the Gemara say? Oh, you might only push a little before or a lot after, or a little after and a lot before. Yeah, you push a whole day and a whole night. It's just you don't define day and night by sunrise and sunset, or by dawn and seisu kochavim. You define day and night by 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. And what's the svara? The shach is not such a crazy svara. Imagine the following case. Let's say a woman gets her period at 7 p.m. every 30 days, like clockwork. You can manage to set your watch. 7 p.m. every 30 days. She got her period 7 p.m. to the 60 days ago, and 7 p.m. 30 days ago, and 7 p.m. today. What's going to happen 30 days from now at 7 p.m.? She now has a daytime Vesses, but in 30 days, 7 p.m. will be nighttime. Right? The days are getting shorter. Right? So then she won't have to be Porsche at 7 p.m. because she only has a daytime Vesses, not a nighttime Vesses? So I said, that doesn't make sense. 7 p.m. should be 7 p.m., but the day and night changes based on the season. So it must be, we don't mean seasonal day and night. We mean these 12 hours and that 12 hours. That way, the timing always works. It's not a crazy svara, the shach. And not to mention, the, okay, so he has a Gemara, which uses Ona in a totally different context. They point out where it means 1260 minute hours. By the way, how do you express 1260 minute hours in the old days? Half a day and half a night. Because half the day and half the night is always exactly 1260 minute hours. Anyway, so it's not a crazy svara, because if you think about it, right? If I'm a woman, and 7 p.m. 60 days ago, and 7 p.m. 30 days ago, and 7 p.m. today I get my period, I have a day veses. So in 30 days, I'm mutter sleep with my husband at 7 p.m. because it's not the daytime? Shach says, that doesn't make sense. Of course I'm usher at 7 p.m. I'm expecting my period. So it must be that we define daytime by 6 to 6 and nighttime by 6 to 6.
But it's also the flip side, meaning that you will have some time. So let's say your day's reading longer in your 7 p.m. case. So then 8 p.m. will still be daytime. I mean, sunlight will still be out there and you'll be allowed to be with your husband at that time. Right.
Well, not if it's 7 p.m., then I'm also okay. 6 p.m.
Peppers.
Yeah, okay, so what's the problem? I'm not going to get my period then.
I mean, why did you find another one a problem? Daytime versus nighttime. Like, that, if that's a problem, because that's called, like, daytime. As much as you think that, like, that's a reason to think like the shop, it's also a reason to think that.
No, because here it's the exact time I'm going to be with my husband. Realize, if you don't like the shach, at the exact time of my period, I'm allowed to be with my husband. That's crazy, no? Okay, you don't think so.
After. Yeah,
okay. Anyway, this is how the shach says the Avi Asaf. Do we pass like the Avi Asaf? So, the shach says we paskin like the Avi Asaf. But all the other achronim say we paskin against the Avi Asaf. Meaning, we go by daytime, by light, by night and day, right? Meaning, according to all the other poskim, Taka, if she sees at 7 p.m. and 7 p.m. and 7 p.m., now what is it, August? Then in September, she'll be allowed to be with her husband at 7 p.m. because she's a daytime veses, and she's not usher in the nighttime. And if the shach says that's crazy, isn't she can get a period at 7 p.m., The other achronim will say, no, a woman's body has circadian rhythms or whatever you call them, and it goes by the daytime and the nighttime and not by the clock. That when Hashem built our bodies, our biology is not based on having like a quartz chip that ticks away the exact milliseconds. It's based on our reaction to sunlight and to light, nighttime and to light and darkness, and therefore your body really depends where the sun is, not what time it is on the clock. Okay, so the Maisa, how do we define day and night then? Let's just paskin. How to define Yom and Laila. So we said, according to the Shach, we define it as 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. But we don't hold like the Shach. How do we define Yom and Laila for most things in the Torah? Anyone? No, from when to when is Yom, from when to when is Laila? For most halachic purposes, from alos to tseis is daytime, and from tseis to alos is nighttime. Why do we have bina shmashos? So, forgetting about the rav in the shirim zecho remorizal, but most rishonim say because we're not sure when tseis is. Maybe it's earlier in bina shmashos, maybe later. But so you might have said, you know, by alos hashachar. And Seis HaKochavim, right? It means a pasuk that that's daytime, right? V'anachlo sim lacham yalos ha-shachar et Seis HaKochavim and v'haya lanu ha-yom l'macham blayim v'shmer shayom l'lacha, something like that. Okay, but we don't pass like that either. What does the Pesach Tshuva tell us? In Sivkatan something? Sivkatan Yud? Yes? Sifkatan, no. Chavos Das. We pass like the Chavos Das in Sifkatan Yud. That, for Vestos, it's a little complicated, because for other Hilchos Nida, we go by Alos Tetzes. Only for Vestos. Like, there's not a rule for Hilchos Nida, it's only for Vestos. For Catholic Shivanakiyam, you go by Alos Tetzes. Right? But, for Vestos, we go by Zricha Tashkia, meaning sunrise and sunset. We have a Masorah that Vestos goes by the sun. Again, why is that? Maybe we just, they understood that biologically the body reacts to the hormones, react to the light of the sun or the darkness, and even if the sun's, if even if it's dawn, it's still dark outside, and even if it's dusk, it's still dark outside.
Or it could be psychological. You know, one will think that, oh, I have daytime excess this time.
Okay, could be as well. You're right. Anyway, Lamaisa, that's what we pass again. We pass like the Chavos Das, that for Vestos, unlike every other area of the Torah, including unlike Hilchos Nida, you want to know, for Shiva Nikiyam, what the definition of a day is? It's Alosa Shachar at Seiso Kochavim. But you want to know, for Vestos, the definition of a day, it's from sunrise to sunset, and from sunset to sunrise.
Zricha the same as Hanetz?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Zricha is Hanetz Achama.
Okay, also, can very say again what the 6 to 6 is based on?
It's based on the Avi Asaf.
No. What does that mean?
It means that the nighttime is 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., and the daytime is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., regardless of where the sun is and where the stars are.
Well, so I forgot where 6 o'clock is coming from.
Ah, because the Avi Asaf says 12 60-minute hours. So how do you define the... And the Shach assumed he's talking about definition of day and definition of night. How do you define the night by 12 60-minute hours? Menastan from 6 to 6. How else would you define the night? I mean, how is there a more logical way of dividing into day and night than 6 o'clock?
I mean, because 12 is...
You get 24 hours in a day. You have to divide them into 12 hours day, 12 hours night. How are you going to do it?
I don't know, but is it...
You're going to pick like 9 to 9? That's ridiculous. Don't you want the middle of the night to be midnight and the middle of the day to be noon? Yeah. Right, okay, that's the answer. Because the middle of the day should be noon and the middle of the night should be midnight. That's the answer. Okay, good. Now comes the... By the way, Agav, though, however, it's a little tricky because if you actually look... Again, the Ozerut doesn't have this. The Avi Asaf, I haven't seen. But the Ravan, you know, I have on my bookshelf at home. If you look at the Ravan, it really sounds like this one. Oh, it's against the Gemara. A few lines in that Ravan are against the Gemara. I'm sure he had an explanation. You know? And probably the explanation isn't that they copied over the Ravan wrong, because then it wouldn't have made it into the Ravya. But I don't know what he... Gersay he had in the Gemara, or what Svari he had. I don't know. But the Pashtus in the Ravan, the Pashtus is that it's not like the Shach says, which is good, because we don't paskin like the Shach. We paskin like the Chavos Das. Okay, now comes the Onas or Zeruah. Now, Lemaisa, if you talk to like Hasanim or stuff about this, no one ever heard of the Sivi Asaf, even though it's a Shach, and the Shach is very super duper chashev. Lemaisa, it's a Shita Dechuya, no one pays any attention to the Sivi Asaf. Now let's go to the Orzarua. The Orzarua, on the other hand, you talk to Chasanim, and everyone knows about the Orzarua. It's something which everyone discusses. Adam Yom Hazeh. Right? Everyone knows about the Orzarua. This is what that means, that it's still a big machlokes, Adam Yom Hazeh. Right? Meaning, if it was Pasha one way or the other way, no one would know about the Orzarua. They just know the Halacha. Right? Everyone heard of the Onas Orzarua, because they know that it's a machlokas, depending if you hold like the Orzarua or not. What's the sheet of the Orzarua? The Gemara says very clearly, how much you have to be Porish?
No.
One Ona. The Orzarua says, how much you have to be Porish? Two Onas. The Ona where the Veset falls, and the Ona beforehand. The Gemara says, Mefurish not that way. It's against a Mefurish Gemara. So here is the Orzarua, and obviously all the Rishonim. How about the Orzarua? Which again, he's really quoting from the Rav Yah, who's really quoting from the Ravan, the same line of Ravan, which the Chasam Sofer thinks is significant, and the Shach thinks is not. I mean, is it coincidence that the same people have these Shitas? The Shach thinks it's coincidence, the Chasam Sofer thinks not, as we'll see in a second. Says the Orzarua that you have to be Poresh Gam Be'ona Shelifnei Onas Haveses. The problem, of course, being that is Mefurish against the Gemara. Okay, there are many ways to justify the Orzarua, but we won't learn all of them. What does problem is against the Gemara? So what does the Shach answer? How does the Shach defend the Orzarua? How does the Shach defend the Orzarua?
We view the whole
That, of course, it's against the Gemara, because something changed between the time of the Gemara and now. What changed?
That she used to have it at a specific time of the day. That was always
exactly. In the time of the Gemara, she had it down to the minute. I don't know about the minute, but at least the...
It was the same time
yes.
during the day.
It was 5 o'clock. Nowadays, even a woman has a Vestas Kavua, I think. Again, I haven't interviewed every woman. But even women with Vestas Kavua nowadays, they don't have it down to like the exact same time. Just a day 30. You know, but not more Medoyik than that. So says the Shaf, no problem. Says the Shaf that Bizman HaGemara, when did women see at an exact minute? You know? And therefore, what was the Veses and what was the Ona Smucha Leveses? The Veses was that minute. And then, you have to be forced to own a smucha leveset is the one ona. That's the Gemara. But, bizman hazeh, a woman see, you know, at variable times during the ona. During one ona. Even a woman with a veses kavua, it's not the same minute. It's sometime on day 30 or sometime on night 35 or whatever. And therefore, the whole ona is the veset itself. But there's a gzeira that chazal were gozer, you have to also do smuch leveses, not just the veset itself. Well, since nowadays the whole ona is the veset itself, because she doesn't know one particular time, but chazal said you have to add to it. So what do you have to add? The ona beforehand. So it's not against the Gemara, it's just in a different metzias, you have to apply the Gemara differently. That's the Shach's defense of the Urza Ruah. Okay, the Chassam Sofer says he doesn't think that's Pshat on the Urza Ruah, in which case, the Urza Ruah and the Yavi Asaf are not related. Right? They're two coincidental, different things that have nothing to do with each other. So they happen to be said by the same people. The Chassam Sofer says, no, really, the Urza Ruah is a side effect of the Yavi Asaf. If the Yavi Asaf says you have to be Poresh for 12 hours beforehand, then it's going to be confusing for people to know exactly when starts the 12 hours beforehand and when it ends, etc. So they just said the whole ona beforehand to avoid confusion. And therefore, the Gemara says, I mean, still the Gemara, but he assumes, and it's not a bad assumption because Mamash in the Rabban, it's one line. He assumes that the Urza Ruah is a side effect of the Yavi Asaf and of... You know, this version of the Yasaf, you have to be Porsche 12 hours before, so you might as well be Porsche the Ona before. Lamaisa, if you're Porsche the Ona before and the Ona of, you've covered 12 hours before. Right? And how to get that to work with the Gemara, we're not sure. So, we're not sure, is this a side effect of the Yasaf, which we don't understand in the first place, or is this the Svar of the Shach? There are other Svaras also, but we'll stick with the Shach for now. Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Halacha l'maisa, how do we paskin? Are we machber for the onus or zebru or not? So the Shach says, I didn't just give a hesber. The Shach says we paskin that way. Right? Shach says, a pashut psak halacha like the onus or zebru. Says the Shach that yesh lehachmir. Like the Urza Ruah, and the Mechaber obviously disagrees, the Meis Yosef is totally doche, L'chor the Ramah by science, the Taz obviously disagrees, and many, many other Achronim also disagree, the Torah Shlomim on the bottom here disagrees, and he quotes that we reject the, he has many people who, and then he says the Nachon is like the Taz, who is doche, the Yavi Asaf and the Chavos Das.
Who says this?
The Torah HaShlomim. Okay. The Mechaber and the Taz, the Torah HaShlomim. The Torah HaShlomim, by the way, is the same as the Chok Yaakov in the bottom of Holchus Pesach and the Shulchan Aruch Chayim and the Minchas Yaakov in the bottom of the Torah Chatas, which is the Ramah's freestanding book on Yoredeya and many, 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 many other Svarim. The Torah HaShlomim and the Chavos Das say that they paskin against the Gerza Ruah. Okay, how do we paskin nowadays? There is no clear accepted psak nowadays in any velt. Really, every posik, every Rosh Hashiva, you know, paskins differently about this. And some people paskin that, yes, like the Shach, we hold like the Gerza Ruah. Some people paskin, it's a chumrah for B'nai Torah to hold like the Gerza Ruah, but you don't have to. Some people paskin, we totally don't hold like the Gerza Ruah, and all kinds of in-betweens, you know, to give this yeshiva, and he says, after your Mekayim Puravu, you should hold like the Gerza Ruah. Or, you know, after Shana Rishona, hold like the Gerza Ruah, or all kinds of different combinations. L'maisa, my Masorah from Rabbi Willig is, and again, especially the Gerza Ruah, is talking about Vesis Kavua, right? If you have Vesis Ke'ina Kavua, She'ina Kavua, then you know, it's even less likely you want to be macher for the shitas yachid that's really tamu. Even though the shach thinks he made a pshat, but it's a little hard. In the Nekudas HaKesef, he explains how he really thinks it's pshat in the Gemara. But it's a big stretch. The Torah Shlomo says, halacha l'maisa, we paskin against the Gerza Ruah. And Rabbi Willig says that if you don't have a Vesis Kavua, you should for sure not be macher like the Gerza Ruah. Even if you have a Vesis Kavua, if you want to, you can, but you shouldn't feel pressured. We paskin, not like the Gerza Ruah, and even if you want to be macher like the Gerza Ruah, if you don't have a Vesis Kavua, then really it's far out to be machmer for the Gerza Ruah. So this is the Psak of Rabbi Willig. My letter right, Ramu? I don't know if that's still, that Rosh Tevos is still common. He says, in a Vesis She'eino Kavua, then ein lahachmir klal, and a vesis kavua, then it's optional, but you know, really shouldn't feel the pressure, because really the shach is very dachuk, and it's really shittis yachid that we don't understand, and it comes from Ravan that doesn't even say what the shach explains. He says, I mean, the Ravan clearly does not say the shach's explanation, so it's a little funny. He's explaining the Yerza Ruah, who comes to the Ravyo, who comes to the Ravan, but that's not what the Ravan says. Okay, which is not a disproof, but it's a little dachuk. And even the Gerza Ruah himself is sosur himself in that siman. He writes not this way, and then in the end he says, the Gevei Asaf wrote this way, and strangely enough does not like follow up on that. Okay, l'maisa, anyway, we do not encourage the Gerza Ruah. Certainly, if you don't have Vesis Kavua like most people, you should not be machmer on the ona of the Gerza Ruah. It could even be that the Gerza Ruah's Sfarah wouldn't even apply to Vesis She'ina Kavua. The Shach's, because the Shach's Svara is, your chazaka is to have a Vesis anytime during the day, not at one moment. But if it's Einu Kavu and it only happened once, then it only happened at one moment. So maybe Bechol the Shach isn't Shaykh. Unclear whether he would make a low plug or something. Okay, so much for the Mechaber. I think that's all we have to say about the Mechaber on Se'if Beis. There's always more details, which is worth learning, but we can't chazar all of them together. The Ramadan says v'chol zamayri lo mayri el vesatolib yom v'lo vesatolib shinu yaguf ayin lekamitzim kovetes. This all svara is about days, certain days. But what if not? If the vesis is a certain feeling in your body, obviously if vesis is a feeling in your body. Well, we're not going to do it now. We'll get to it. But then you can't say you have to be porish the whole day when you'll get that feeling, because you don't know if you're going to get the feeling until you got it. So he says, obviously, there have to be different rules. Let's say the Vesis is, whenever I feel, you know, this sharp cramp, then I get my period. Then obviously, the night you can't talk about, you have to be porous the whole night, because you don't know you'll feel it till it happens. So we'll get to it in Kofpei Test. There's another important line in the Ramah here, which is very controversial what it means. And so we'll have to save that Amir Tzashem for next time and continue then. And the next time, we'll start with that line in the Ramah and try to... maybe even if we can finish Simon Kuf Pei Daled, or at least get all very, very close to finishing Simon Kuf Pei Daled.
What's the Chacham Sofer say again?
The Chacham Sofer says that the Gerza Ruah is a side effect of the Avi Asaf.
Okay.